Thank you very much, ladies, for sharing your talents and gifts with us tonight and leading us in worship. As I was preparing for this evening's little study, I couldn't help but get drawn back to the book of beginnings, the book of Genesis. And as I was working through this, there were eight different things that I saw just in the first three chapters of this book of Genesis, that where we find that our very fundamental tenets to our faith, very fundamental beliefs that we have, that we're introduced to that early in the Word of God. And, you know, I just find that amazing that God doesn't wait until you get to chapter 5 before He begins to reveal who He is and things that He wants to do. But instead, He begins right off in the Word of God with areas that are going to be very, very foundational to us, that in reality are becoming attacked constantly. You know the debate that goes on between evolution and creation. That's an attack on God. You know, just as Joyce mentioned tonight, with this attack on truth, let's forget what the book of Romans says, for as in Adam all died, so in Christ are all made alive. You know, let's forget Adam's responsibility there. Let's find a way to overlook that and blame someone else. But folks, we must stand for the truth, no matter what others may lie. We must stand for the truth. And so it's important that we accept that kind of tenet. I'm going to ask you to please open your Bibles to the book of Genesis. We're going to begin at chapter 1. And there are, like I said, eight different introductions to our faith and to our belief system that are brought out. And you might be able to go through and glean more. And that's wonderful. I encourage you to do that. But tonight we're just going to kind of look at these eight areas where we see the beginnings of things. And we start tonight with the beginning of the world. Look at Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Who created the heavens and the earth? God. There wasn't a dust ball in heaven that somehow exploded and the universes were formed. God created the heavens and the earth. The word created means that He lovingly formed. And so as we start off, where do we come from? We come from God. We come from the mind of God. And this world on which we have the privilege of dwelling comes from God. Doesn't come from any place else. Comes from God. And I'm going to tell you, when it comes time for this world to be destroyed, it will be destroyed by God. Not by man. It's going to be destroyed by God. He's going to order that. No one else. And so we find right off that very first element is the fact that God is the creator and nobody else. Okay? The second beginning is the beginning of man. Man did not climb out of the slime pits and wiggle his way out of the mud and the water and somehow then begin to breathe and in the process of that climbing out of the slime pit begin to grow arms and legs so that he could stand up. You know, he didn't take billions and billions of years to become what we represent as man today. But instead, Genesis chapter 1, I want you to notice this, verse 26, look at what it says. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the sky, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth and that creeps out of the sea and becomes man." Is that what your Bible says? That's not what it says? Well, that's good, because that ain't right. Okay? It doesn't say that. But it says that we are created in the image of God and in the likeness of God. Do you want to know what God looks like? He looks like man. That's right. Because that's how we were created. We were created in the likeness of God. And God doesn't wait until chapter 20 to reveal this to us. He begins at the beginning. And he is the one who has created man. All right? The third beginning that we see is he created the beginning of the Sabbath, of the day of rest, if you will. Look at Genesis chapter 2, verse 3. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. And the word sanctified there means he set it apart. He made it not common. And so he set apart, he sanctified that day, because in it he rested from all his work which the Lord had created and made. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. He established a Sabbath, a day of rest. Man makes the Sabbath a common day. And isn't that sad? It's like any other day. Now, when we come to the book of Acts, we see that the time of worship became initiated by the apostles in commemoration of the resurrection of Christ, in celebration of new life. The Sabbath was made at that point the first day of the week, as representing the day of the resurrection. All right? But regardless, a Sabbath day has been created by God, and it is for the purpose of rest, recovery, and not a day that ought to be just be common like every other day. But it ought to be a day where worship is incorporated into the life to show our appreciation and our gratitude to God for all that he has done. And so we see the beginning of the Sabbath. And then we see the next beginning is we find the beginning of woman. The beginning of woman. We somehow in our thinking sometimes we get the idea, okay, God created man, and he says, you know, he kind of looks a little lonely there. Maybe we'd better create him a helpmeet, you know, while we're at it. And that's really not the way it was. We don't know how long in reality that Adam existed before Eve was created. We really don't have a full understanding of that. All right? Because the scriptures aren't clear on that. But we do know that woman was created by God as well. And early on in the book of Genesis, we find the beginning of woman. Look at chapter 2, verse 22. And the Lord God fashioned into a woman the rib which he had taken from the man and brought her to the man. And let's continue on here. And the man said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. For this cause, a man shall leave his father and his mother and shall cleave to his wife, not wives, and they shall become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. Who formed woman from the rib of man? God. Not scientists. Not amoebas. Not little slimy things that crawled out of the sea. God formed woman. All right? And so we see the beginning of woman here. Now, the next thing that we see, or we're going to look at tonight, is we are going to see the beginning of Satan's appearance. Prior to this time, we're not really given any kind of indication that there's going to be a problem guy, that there's going to be someone who is going to try to mess up absolutely everything that God has attempted to do. But we come to this next part, and we look at Genesis chapter 3, look at verse 1. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made, and he said to the woman, indeed has God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden. Satan used deception to try to entrap Adam and Eve. Satan uses deception to try to entrap you and I. Deceptions are the tool that Satan uses to try to defeat the church. He is a deceiver. Now, that being said, sin is not Satan's fault. It's ours. We are the ones who are responsible for our decisions to willfully walk against the known laws of God. We are the ones who are responsible for not doing the things that we are commanded by God's word to do. You know, the sins of omission, not doing those things that God tells us to do, and the sins of commission, doing things that God tells us not to do. God does not, when Bill runs to his local drug dealer and says, hey, you know, you got any of that wacky tobacco stuff? I need some of that. God doesn't say, Satan, you shouldn't have done that. he looks at Bill and he says, Bill, what are you thinking? What are you doing? You see, we are the ones who are held responsible and accountable for our actions. And that's important for us to realize. Not Satan. Satan has a job that he's trying to do, and that's to try to destroy us. It's a job that he made up. It's a job that he is attempting, but nonetheless, that's his job. We have a job to do too, and that is to honor God with all of our heart, to love him with everything that is within us, to follow him without questioning and without reservation, and to be sharing his grace with this world. Satan will do anything he can to stop us from doing what God has commanded us to do. But God holds us responsible when we make the decisions to not do what God has commanded us to do. Folks, it's that simple. When we do what God commands, we are blessed. When we walk against what God commands, we're not blessed. You've got John back there. And John commits a heinous sin. Well, we're going to hold Keith responsible for it. In case you didn't hear that, John goes, yes! No, that's not the way it works, is it? If John committed the atrocity, John has to suffer the penalty. Keith responds back from being released from that responsibility. And you see, that's an important thing when it comes to our relationship with God. No one, now I want you to hear this, no one makes us sin. We sin when we are drawn away by our own lust. Then sin is conceived. Choices that we make, we are held responsible for. And you see, God doesn't hide that from us in his word. He begins right out with this whole concept. As Satan is introduced in this third chapter, he says, now the serpent was more crafty, more deceptive, more deceitful than any other creature. The next thing that we see is the beginning of sin. Genesis chapter 3, look at verse 6. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate, and she also gave to her husband with her, who resisted. No? That's not what it says? No, he didn't resist. And he ate. And he ate. Then the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together. And we're going to read a little passage here. Sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loin coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees in the garden. Then Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "Well, I heard the sound of thee in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" And the man said, "The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me from the tree, and I ate." And then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that Satan has done to you?" Is that what it says? No, that's not what it says. "What is this that you have done?" Woman, you are responsible. And as we go on, we find, man, you are responsible. All right? Satan is obviously responsible for his attempts at deceiving. He will suffer for that. But man and woman suffer for their own sin. Now, you see, sin is any willful disobedience of a known law of God. That's sin. It was known to Adam and to Eve, "You don't eat from this tree. The day that you eat from this tree, you're going to die. Don't eat from this tree." God had commanded it. When Eve ate and gave then to her husband and he ate, now I want you to think this through, that is when sin became the issue. Had she eaten and Adam not eaten, Adam would not have sinned. He wouldn't have. If Adam had eaten and Eve hadn't, Eve wouldn't have sinned. But the truth is, they both ate. They willfully disobeyed the command that God had given them not to eat from that tree. And so sin then was conceived. And that's where the principle comes down from in the book of Romans. "For as in Adam all die, sin is passed from Adam on through the human race. We receive the principle of sin from our parents, who received it from their 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 parents and their parents and their parents," if you could trace all the way back to Adam. Sin has been passed on because of the sinfulness of Adam and Eve and their particular choice. And so it says, "And they did eat, and she gave it to her husband, and he ate as well." All right? The next thing that we see is not just the beginning of sin, but we see the beginning of judgment. Look at verse 17. "Then to Adam, God said," or he said, "because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree about which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat from it, cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall grow for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground, because from it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return." Judgment. Judgment. Woman, you're going to have struggles and pain in childbirth, one of the most glorious events in life. It's going to be painful for you. Man, you're going to work by the sweat of your brow, and I'm not going to make it easy for you because you're going to have to deal with the thorns of life. Judgment. All right. So we see in these three chapters the beginning of judgment. And then we see the beginning of the glorious promise of life. The beginning of understanding of how God is going to deal with the question of sinful man. How is this going to happen? Look with me at Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. In the middle of God speaking to Eve about what she's done, this verse springs up. And I will put enmity between you and the woman. Or he's speaking to Satan, you know, about this. And he says, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel. If there's going to be damage done to somebody, what is going to be more dangerous for the individual? A heel being injured or a head being crushed? It's okay, you can answer that. The head being crushed. That's right. You see, here is where we have the very first indication that there's going to be a Christ. The Christ is going to have his heel bit. No matter what Satan tries to do, he's not going to be able to destroy him. He's not going to be able to kill him. But the indication here is that with that heel bite, Jesus is going to crush the head of Satan. He will destroy the serpent. And so, early on in the Bible, we see how the drama is being set up. We see how everything is going to work together. We see that there's going to be a struggle with man and righteousness. We see that there is going to be a struggle between God and Satan. And we see that there's going to be a provision from God for our salvation, for our restoration, for our being brought back to God. It's all there in three short chapters. The beginning. And folks, we're seeing a tremendous onslaught trying to destroy these beginnings. And it's not all with scientists. It's even within the church. We have to be aware of that. We have to guard against it. Would you please stand? I have to tell you that I had received strict instructions before the service tonight from a guy named Bill, whose name I'll not mention. Who had said, look, we're supposed to have a horrible storm. You let us out early tonight. Not till midnight. He said it's already taken place in Cleveland. So you might want to button down the hatches. We're supposed to get some heavy rains tonight. All right, so be prepared for that. So we're going to try to let you out before the rains come, maybe. All right, let's have a closing word of prayer. Our precious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the fact that you don't hide from us this great battle for our souls that began clear back in the garden, is ongoing and will continue until you bring a resolution to all things in your time and in your power. Now, Father, help us to learn from your hand righteousness, truth, honor, integrity. Help us to learn from your hand that which is going to produce in our lives a reflection of who you are. And Father, we'll give you praise for what you do. Now, please guide us this week. Help us to take advantage of the opportunities that we have to share your love with those that we come in contact with. For it's in your glorious and holy name we pray. Amen.